Today on Real Life Radio.
Stop entertaining the thought that you can't go anymore. Stop entertaining the thought that it's all over for me now. Stop entertaining the thought that where can we go from here? No, God is working something out.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Stop, Part 2, continues his series called The Why Series. When we stop to look around us, the church in the U.S. is in danger of becoming powerless in our witness for Christ. We are showing signs of battle fatigue, if you will. And if we don't get refueled, well, we'll not only lose our focus, we'll have little effect on moving our country back to God. You see, we all know that the unexpected can happen pretty much any moment. But when we wait with confidence and expectancy on the Lord, we know that He'll give us the strength for any situation in which we find ourselves. Sudden tragedies, challenges, they won't exhaust us and they won't destroy us. We just need to stop and allow God to break the strongholds that so easily take control of our lives. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that by stop, we mean to stop and know that being fearful, faithless, and discouraged only ends in defeat. But when we stop and know that being courageous, faith-filled, and encouraged will give us the victory. And now in his message called Stop, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Lord, we prayed this evening that by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, you would speak to us out of your word. And we pray that you give us ears to hear as we pick it up, Lord, in this challenge to our hearts. A challenge. Who would have thought that the challenge would be for us to be encouraged? Your Bible tells us over and over again, be courageous, be encouraged, be strong. How we need that in our lives. And so, Lord, we pray this evening, we would learn how to stop. Learn how to stop all the voices and all of the things that press against us, that we might be bold, strong children of God in this day. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, eyes to the screens. We're looking at a message, part two of it, titled Stop, and it is a word of encouragement to us this evening. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 down to verse 6, and I'll read it. I'll read the whole thing through. And now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people, these are his warriors that are with him, spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. And here it is. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. May we do the same, right? In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. If you look at this and picking it up where we looked at last time, the title Stop is something that is a play off of that last statement in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30, that David's life was imploding now suddenly in this horrible rout, that when they came back from their military campaign, they get back to their base, their city, and they can see the smoke rising. And as I mentioned last week, worst of all, it's not that your wife was killed and your kids were killed and your older elderly family was killed. No, what was worse is that they were taken captive. That's actually worse, because when you think of what the Amalekites did, if you know anything about the Amalekites, the unbelievable thoughts would have come up in your mind. Unbelievable thoughts of what they were doing to your family. It would have been better for them to be dead than to fall into the hands of such brutal, brutal barbarians. And if that wasn't enough, his own men begin to turn on him for grief, no doubt about it, out of sheer grief. And this amazing statement and act of David, that he strengthened himself in the Lord. An amazing thing. Just by way of review quickly for a moment, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, though we didn't mention it last time, it bears mentioning tonight. Isaiah 40, verse 31. It's a tremendous passage. It's a great, great declaration. But those who wait on the Lord, and that's going to be a key factor for us tonight. Wait. What does it mean? How do we do that? But to those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, that's not a great verse to put on a Nike shirt. It's not something that you etch into your tennis shoes. I guess you could. This statement by God given to us is an absolute spiritual fact that translates into our physical existence as people. When the Bible says David strengthened himself in the Lord, that's what he did. He went to God's strength. He found himself, preached to himself, as it were, announced to himself the greatness of God and God's ability to do what God has said he would do. And this is something that we as believers tonight need to so discipline and make happen in our lives, that God has said what he's going to do. By the way, in Isaiah 40, verse 31, when that word says those who wait on the Lord, the word wait means this. I love it. I've got to tell you this. The word in Hebrew means to wait with expectancy. That's a different kind of waiting. To wait with expectancy. To wait with full confidence. It means to be hope-filled waiting, patiently waiting, knowing, the word means, what is coming will come. What a great statement. But those who wait on the Lord, it means that you wait on the Lord in such a way with, it'd be kind of like having your baseball mitt at the going to the Angel Stadium, right? And you got your baseball glove there and you're there at the third baseline and you hold your mitt out and you're waiting to get it, the ball. You say, well, that's wishful thinking. Unless your dad is Mike Trout, and he says, I'm going to line one over to you, son. You stand there along the third baseline, and I'll knock it right into your glove. That kid is going to stand there like this, knowing that his dad, with the skills of a Mike Trout, is able to put that baseball right in that kid's glove. Everybody looks at him and says, what are you, nuts, standing there? And that kid could turn around and say, watch this. And he waits with expectancy that what's going to happen is going to be fulfilled by what his dad had promised. Okay? Now, I'm speaking in silly human terms. What if God is the one that is setting all that up? And he is in your life. Perfect example of this is in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts 1, verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, that is the disciples, had all gathered together, and they're praying and seeking and gathering and watching and maybe sensing, I don't know, if this is their last time to be with Jesus. It says there that he, Jesus, had commanded them to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. This is that expectancy and waiting that God said this, God is going to do this. So church, we pick it up where we left off. Our fourth argument is this. To stop means this, that we stop to know that he will make you invincible. We touched on that. And we had to end the service last time. Why do we need to hear this tonight? Because the fact of the matter is, God is on his throne. Jesus Christ, listen, resides in the life of every one of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit. And in this world that we're in now, in the world that we're heading into, in life, The overwhelming temptation is going to come to you emotionally. I can't do this anymore. And I want you to know right now that God is the one who is saying to you, stop. Stop right where you're at. Listen, if somebody is alluring you away, tricking you away, somehow enticing you away, God is saying, stop. If your mind, you're weary, you want to give up, you want to quit, and you've entertained those thoughts, God is saying to you, stop. And when he says stop, it's never in the negative. When God says stop, look, all of the thou shalt nots of the Bible, think about them. Thou shalt not. Did you know that when you read the thou shalt not statements of the commandments of God, for example, all of those commandments are to keep you alive. All those commandments are to be a blessing to you. Think about it. If, in fact, you violate those thou shalt nots and you can get yourself killed. You'll certainly line up being in opposition to God. No, when God speaks, he says, stop. And then he shows you a better way. And God's way tonight in this argument and number four in our teaching series right now on this is the fact that God says, stop. I have made you invincible until I call you home. God has made us invincible. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, God told Joshua, remember, he was Israel's general. He was the one tapped by Moses to take the children into the promised land. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Think about that for a moment, church, because we've got the temptation in our minds to think that that verse is not available to us to pray. But will you hear me on this? Pray this prayer in believing that for your influence of life, God's promise to you is just as good as it was to Joshua. We have got to be people of faith. We've got to break the stronghold of when we read our Bibles, we're just reading to what? Reading to do what? Christian time, checking in, checking the box. I'm just doing it. No, read it to make it your own. That's why God gave us his word. Yes, oh, that's true for Joshua. No, listen, it was true for Joshua and God put it in the Bible because he wants it to be true for you. Yeah, but I'm just an accountant down at the company in the corner of the room. God says to you in the corner of the room, no man should be able to stand before you all the days of your life. You need to find out what that means in your world. But know this, you cannot stop or give up being a Christian now. You can't do that. You're so close to the finish line. Don't do that. That verse goes on to say, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That's proof right there. Look, can you imagine Joshua could have said, I know that you were with Moses, but you would never be with me. And then you and I look at Moses and Joshua and say, but you were with them, but you would never be with me. No, because God was with Moses and because God was with Joshua, God has to be with you. He has to. And for the few, I hope all of you who believe that, that will transform your life. That will transform your life. Again, Joshua 1, he goes on to say, verse 5, I will not leave you or forsake you. God said that. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Stop entertaining the thought that you can't go anymore. Stop entertaining the thought that it's all over for me now. Stop entertaining the thought that where can we go from here? No. God is working something out. Listen, when you and I get tired in or of the battle, three things came to my mind. Maybe they're different for you. But number one is begin. Listen, when I get tired about being in the battle, now look, these are my own confessions. You can make up your own. You begin to think about yourself more frequently, or I put it this way, I'm drifting off my mission. When I get tired, I have a tendency to drift off mission or get away from thoughts about God or other people, and I think about me. I'm so tired. I'm tired. It's been going so hard so long. Listen, when you're really tired, I don't know how you are, but when I get tired, I get grumpy, and food doesn't help. Normally, food can help you in that department. Comfort food won't even work. What happens? I've allowed myself to get weary at doing good things. I don't maintain a source of spiritual nourishment. for myself. You say, Pastor, aren't you just cranking out sermons all the time? Yeah, and that's not the same. It's not the same because, listen, I have a soul. Yes, the message is ministered to me first, and I love it. But for me also, there needs to be that time of being with God that we're not, or I'm not in the book that we're studying in or the topics that we're teaching on, that it's my own nourishment. Jesus told the disciples, come away with me. Let's go away. Maybe God is telling you, come away with me. I'm convinced, I was convinced of this. Now it's just the way of living life. I mean it. I'm not trying to abuse you. To get alone with God, you have to do that. It has to be a discipline. It has to be a choice you make to be strengthened. That means you got to either go to bed an hour earlier because you're going to set your alarm an hour earlier. And listen, try that. But you see, yeah, but if I don't get enough sleep? I have to have 8 hours. What if I just get 6? It doesn't matter if you get 3. God will be your strength. He will supernaturally show you that the time that you spent with him somehow supernaturally will sustain your body. I don't understand it. It defies physics, but that's the God that we have. I don't need to drift off mission because I'm tired. I need to stay doing what I know is the right thing to do. Secondly, you can begin to ponder or entertain easier routes for yourself. It's just too hard. I'm going to go, this is easier. Watch out for that, people. The third thing is that you can begin to imagine that you're due for an award. I've been at this for so long. What's that hamburger place? You deserve a break today? Who was that back when? Burger King? And we begin, it's McDonald's? Whoever it is, you can think that, look, that was their marketing ploy because it works up here. We want to be careful because it's vital that you understand. God says to you, you're invincible. You just stay with me and draw your strength from me, but you're invincible. You don't need to give up. You don't need to quit. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare. Think about that. We are in a battle. You saw those soldiers in that video a moment ago. They were so weary. So tired. Well, listen, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or of this world, but mighty in God. Watch, for pulling down strongholds. That's awesome. Think about it. Where are you going? I'm going to go into battle. What are you going to do? I'm going to pull down strongholds. What is that? Areas of demonic entrenchment where the enemy has taken control of some part of your life or somebody else's life or maybe your community or maybe your nation. There are strongholds that have been set up. When you have the strength of God operational in your life, you realize the strength's not going to be me. It's going to be God. And I'm going to go after these strongholds. I'm going to pull them down. You can do that with healthy debate with somebody. You can do that with dialogue with somebody. You know, people who have opposing opinions, do people even talk together anymore with opposing opinions? Or do they just throw bombs at each other on Facebook? It's a good thing to get into a dialogue with people that disagree. It's so healthy for you. That used to be called college. College, school used to do that. And it's healthy and you learn and you sharpen your skill. I believe, look, I believe that the Christian's got the greatest argument in the world. We just need to perfect our argumentation. And the Bible says that what God has given us, we can pull down strongholds. Verse 5 says, casting down arguments of every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Watch this. Bringing every thought. That word bringing, grabbing every thought and dragging it. I like that. It's very, very aggressive. Bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. So what is that? This thought enters your mind. Well, you know, I'm thinking what? Nope, that's not of God. And you grab it. And you just said, you are so in trouble, thought. You don't belong in my head. I absolutely rebuke this thought. In fact, come here. and you grab it and you drag it to the foot of the cross and you take it to Christ and you say, you died on the cross for this. I don't want anything to do with this in my life. There it is. And you say, Pastor, that's awesome. How many times do you do that? About 30 to 50 times a day, if need be, or more. Whenever they pop up, that's what you do with it. You get it. Listen, I'm going to give you a verse. It's awesome because there are theological camps that argue this verse. They just argue it. And that's fine for them. But I tell you, it's an awesome verse. What I'm describing is what the Bible says, according to my understanding of the verse, in Matthew 11, 12. You've probably never heard a sermon on this verse. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Okay? Look what the next statement is. And the violent take it by force. Okay, there's great theologians on one side that says this. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent people attack it. Well, that is true. I would say that that's a given. But the context, if you read Matthew 11 in the context right there, I don't think you can come to that conclusion. Jesus is talking about John the Baptist. The moment John the Baptist started preaching, thousands and thousands and thousands of people came to hear him. And from that time, listen, that baton went from John the Baptist over to Jesus, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people gathered around Jesus, right? Think of it. That's why the other camp of theologians, and I agree with them, take this understanding of it, because of the context. Remember, when you're reading your Bible, context is king. The context interprets all verses in the context. Remember that. The Bible says, for example, Judas went out and hung himself. If you read that verse and say, oh, he was an apostle. Yes, he was. And he hung himself. Yes, he did. Well, it's in the Bible. Yes, it is. Well, I guess it's okay to hang yourself. No, it's not. You just took that out of context. Okay, you with me? So watch this. If you read Matthew 11 in the context, this is the understanding. And the king, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, meaning that since John came, the kingdom has been making a difference in the world, and those who grab it in its truths and run with it make a difference. That's a powerful difference. Yes, the kingdom of God is under attack. It's always going to be under attack. But the interesting thing is what looks like a negative in the English becomes a positive. And the violent take it by force. It means that you and I grab the truths of God and we don't run with it in our own strength. We run with the kingdom truth. That's our strength. And we advance the kingdom because we grab it and we are not idle with it. We go with it.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Stop Part 2. We're so glad you took the time to be with us today. Stop Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the foundation of human creation and why we exist in this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, in this day and age, it's not going to hurt to have instant access to spiritual content that you can really rely upon and trust, to stop when we're starting to feel overwhelmed and then lean into God in prayer and study. Or if you're in the car, you can catch a message or two from Pastor Jack, and that's why we created the Real Life mobile app. It's on-the-go Real Life radio and podcasts, along with devotions, Bible studies, news updates that really matter to us, and a whole lot more. You can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app through the App Store or from our website, that's jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com, that's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.